Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Glad everyone is with us this morning, those who are with us in person and those tuning in from home and all the places that you are, 110 devices tuning in right now from all over, states like Texas, Wisconsin, Iowa, Arizona, Arkansas, and Missouri. So we're glad that you're with us and we all gather together at God's throne. And so, if you didn't know, it's Father's Day. That would be a good time to, if your father is living, let them know how much you appreciate them. We live in a society where, over the past, I don't know how many years, but fatherhood it has been undervalued, you know, in America for a little while now. And I want to share just a couple of quick things. This is Jeffrey Rosenberg. From a book, The Importance of Fathers in the Healthy Development of Children. He said, involved fatherhood is linked to better outcomes on nearly every measure of child well-being, from cognitive development and educational achievement to self-esteem and pro-social behavior. And it is said that children who grow up with involved fathers are 39% more likely to earn mostly A's in school, 45% less likely to repeat a grade, 60% less likely to be suspended or expelled from school, twice as likely to go to college and find stable employment after high school, 75% less likely to have a teen birth, and 80% less likely to spend time in jail. That should not surprise us. And so those are really all the research about fatherhood and its value to children growing up is overwhelmingly positive and important, and studies showing that it is as important to a child growing up, their father's influence in their life is as important as their mother's, which is a little odd to even say because motherhood is so closely tied to child rearing, caring the baby and the nurturing ways that God has made motherhood. And so fatherhood is different. And so I want to speak on that just a little bit this morning. If you had a father who was involved in your life growing up and gave you appropriate love, discipline, and direction, you are fortunate and blessed. And I encourage you to thank God for that. That is a blessing that a lot of people don't have. And if your father has passed, today is a special day for you, but it's a difficult day for you, I'm sure. And if your father has passed and he was a good father, then that blessing continues in your life, doesn't it? His influence, the ways that he blessed you in his role as your father continues to bless, and that's a great thing. To the fathers, to the dads who are here or at home tuning in, to the dads who have your children are growing up right now, great job. Great job that you're at the foot of the cross this morning with your kids and those at home with your kids. You know, I lift up those dads because today is a day that you can call your own shots and you've decided as a family, we're going to be with God this morning. Hey, that's no joke, right? I mean, today you get 2 days, dads. You get this day and your birthday, right? And so I commend you for leading your family in the best way possible, and that is toward God. And we have dads who your children are grown, and I would encourage you, those dads, to keep leading. Your kids are still watching, and your grandkids are still watching, and your kids and grandkids need you. Your kids still need you. I know those who your fathers have passed, you wish you still had them. You still need their wisdom, right? And their leading and their blessing. And so so to those who your kids are grown, keep at it. And to the mothers who are raising your children and your children's father is absent, keep it up because you're having to do the job of two parents. And I encourage you, those mothers, bring your kids. Bring your children, and with the corona, this kind of has an asterisk because of safety, but in the future, even more so, bring your kids and get them around your church family, because there are godly men who can have a fatherly presence to your children growing up needing that. And so keep it up. And then lastly, if your father was not what he should have been, today is a difficult day for you, I would imagine. And I encourage you to find comfort in your perfect Heavenly Father, because He can heal your hurt and He can fill that void in your life. Okay? All right. And I want to ask one more thing, and then we'll get into, I just have three things to share about fathers and what they do and the blessing that that is. But fathers care, many fathers care greatly for their children, and fatherhood is different. But for fathers, I just kind of want to ask real quick, when you first found out you were going to be a father, did the responsibility of that kind of overwhelm you a little bit? Is that that an experience for any fathers in the room, that when you first found out, raise your hands up for a second, I want to see them. When you first found out, oh my goodness, right? I'm going to be responsible for a human being. And it is a... so anyway, I want to poll that, because I periodically will have brand new fathers who find out they're going to be a father, and it rocks their world. And so I'm glad to be able to share with them that is normal. And that means you're probably going to be a really good dad, because you take it very serious. All right, father. So three things about fathers. And one is that fathers protect. They protect their children's security physically and emotionally. And it is in a dad's, a man's nature to protect. And it's uniquely different than a mother. And I'll say this about us. With Stephanie and I am more concerned about protecting them. Now stay with me. Stay with me, and no argument till I finish my case here. I am more concerned about protecting them than she is. Now, if they get hurt, she's the nurturer. I'm the one that says, rub some dirt on it, you're good, you're fine, you know, quit your whining, you're all right. But as far as looking forward to what might happen and injure, right, or threaten or harm my children, it is in a father to protect. And I only know about raising girls, so I can't speak about raising boys, but raising daughters, it is deeply ingrained in a dad to protect these, right? I suspect with boys, you're like, you're good, you know, outrun them. I don't know. I don't know what it's like for dads of boys. I just have girls. But 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. This is physically, God made men stronger physically. God, a male's physical makeup is different than a female's. And on average, men are 50% stronger. Tall, they're also taller, right? But we know, we understand the differences. I'm not talking about better or worse. I'm talking about different. Men were made that way. And why did God give men strength? This verse reminds us, it wasn't to domineer your wife. It wasn't to control. It wasn't to abuse. It was to protect. And I know I'm talking as a dad to dads, and you at home, you know what I'm talking about. Because it is an instinct in you that is incredibly strong and a driving force to protect. And it's a blessing. So, secondly, fathers lead. And Proverbs 27 says, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. And so it paints this picture of dads leading and children following. And it's in a dad's nature to lead. It's their job to lead. And I love seeing our dads lead their families. It is a wonderful thing to see, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to see dads leading their families in a godly way. And I have just a snapshot of last week or two. Matt Tucker was up here with his two girls. And he was across the street looking at the bus because that's a part of Matt's ministry, is taking care of our transportation. And he's over there doing that. And I remember glancing across the street and seeing these two little girls just follow him around wherever he goes. And this big, strong dad and two little daughters. And he leads. He's leading. And when dads do that, especially in a spiritual way, it is a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful thing. And that's how God designed it. And so I encourage you to flip to Proverbs chapter 4. I want to read a little bit in this chapter, a passage here. Verse 1 says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching." So here you have a father, Solomon, and he's really stressing this. He's saying, "Hey, I have something important to tell you. Listen to me." And then reading on, verse 3 says, "When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth.'" Why is he having to stress to listen and understand wisdom? Why is wisdom something that is not just innate? You know, you've heard of common sense. We have certain things that are just innate that you know, you're going to do. When you get hungry, you're going to find something to eat. I mean, just built in. Wisdom's not that way. And this father is saying, "Listen, you're not going to do this naturally. You need to hear me." Why is it that older people tend to have wisdom? You know, young people are a blessing to us because young people, a couple reasons. One, they have fresh view of the world. They present fresh ideas. They have ambition and energy, and they tend to be idealistic. Young people do. They say, "Hey, why can't this be better?" But wisdom is with the aged. Why is that? And the answer is, wisdom, we have to learn the hard way. You don't just naturally do it. You have to learn it. You learn what didn't work. And somebody might have told you. I remember one thing my dad told me. I went to him and I told him I was about to go buy a new car. And not a brand new car, but new to me. And I'd be making payments on it. He asked me, you know, what my payments would be, and I rattled off a number, and he said, "You want to know how you can determine if you can afford that?" And I thought, no, I don't, because I'm getting this car, which reminds me, I went with my sister one time. She bought a car, and I went with her, and she's the one getting it. She's the one going to make the payments. I was not emotional at all. I'm logical, rational. This is not my car. I don't care. And so I'm, you know, going with her and helping her everything. And I remember at one point kind of looking at her. I mean, as soon as we were going to look around and try out all these cars and everything, go to these places. And real early on, as soon as she got in this car, it wasn't like 30 seconds. And I said, "You've already bought this car, haven't you?" It's over. You know, so anyway, that's how I am buying a car too. And Dad said, "Here's how you can know." He said, "Set that payment aside for a month." He said, "Now do it next month and do it the next month. And after 3 months, you'll know if you can afford that car. Plus, you'll have that much money already set aside." Right? Yes. That sound good to anyone? Yes. That sounds smart, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Smart. You think I did that? No. No. When Stephanie and I first met, she asked me about a budget. And I said, "What's a budget?" And we sat down and we went over all my income and expenses, and my expenses were more than my income. I don't know how. Anyway, that's called debt. So, wisdom. The reason this dad is saying, "Hey, listen to me," is he's trying to help his son avoid the mistakes that you're going to make unless you listen to wisdom. You have to listen to someone older than you. And fathers try to impart wisdom on their children, and sometimes it's hard for the children to listen because dads don't always know everything. In fact, we have a Tom, I heard a quote this week. I'm not calling you out, but I heard it from you, and it was something about my dad. It was one of my daughters said my dad said. Let's see, how'd it go? Everything my dad says is not gospel. I think, is that close? That was close, right? And allegedly, another daughter was there and actually confirmed that statement, agreed with it. Not everything my dad says is gospel. That's what they said. And I just throw that out there for fun. As a father, you're trying to lead your children. It is innate in you as dads to lead. And it is our responsibility. It is our job. I want to finish this passage, verse 6. Do not forsake her. So it's strange the way Solomon talks about this. He says her. He's talking about wisdom. Do not forsake her. She will keep you. Love her. She will guard you. He goes on and on. And he could not stress it more how valuable this is. And dads, I encourage you to keep leading, especially with biblical wisdom, where you're trying to take your children to eternal life with God. And to mothers and wives, I would encourage you to honor your husbands. Honor your husbands, because he is trying to lead your family, and it is his duty given from God, and you bless your children when you model respect to their dads and to your husband. And then thirdly, fathers provide. This one's kind of different, because it is something that you may think about and know. It's just kind of a strange one. I'll explain more as we go. But fathers find joy in providing for their children and their families. They find joy in that. And Matthew 7:11 says, "If you then who are evil," meaning not evil as we would think of it, but you are a follow. All of us are imperfect, so all of the dads are imperfect, and God's saying that's how you are, and you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And God is referencing father's nature is to provide and to enjoy that. And I know most mothers work today as well as dads. Dads are hardwired to find great joy in being able to provide for their families. And we have some fathers who, in this church family, we have some fathers who have been laid off, of course, in the past, but presently laid off. And this is uniquely hard for them as a father, as a dad. So I would remind you to pray for them. If you had a dad who worked hard and provided, you are blessed, because not everyone has that. And so I leave you with kind of three encouragements to do for your fathers, and if your fathers are living. And one is pray, because they need prayer. Being a father in this day and time, in our society, being a Christian father is not easy. It is not easy. And it comes with challenges, and sometimes it is a lonely job to try to lead. A Christian father today will find themselves in a position of trying to lead their family sometimes in the right way, and they're the only voice. Pray for them. Appreciate them, because their love, a father's love, is different. It is communicated differently. A father is not innately nurturing, right? He doesn't love typically like a mother loves, but his love is no less deep and powerful and wonderful and a blessing. And so appreciate our fathers, and then encourage them. Keep encouraging them. So we're going to have a song of encouragement, "Take My Life and Let It Be." And it's a good song for us on a day like this. We have a brand new week. A lot of prayers were offered this weekend because of what's happening in America, and particularly the spotlight was on Tulsa this weekend in this nation, and a lot of prayers were offered for God to keep things safe. And my understanding is, for the most part, those prayers were answered. And so we prayed and we asked, and shame on us if we don't give God praise for it. So we thank the Lord for that. And just a reminder, hey, He's in charge. I remind you, church, keep your head up. We serve a God that is still in charge. He is no less sovereign than He has always been. So let Him take your life. Let Him be in charge of your life. If you need something this morning, we'd love to help you with it. Whatever it may be, if there's one that has not given their life to Christ, had your sins washed away, we'd love nothing more than to help you with that if you'd come while we stand and sing.
Take my life and let it be complete.